This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi te motu, MPR. If you're enjoying this podcast in Manawatu, you could make your very own, just like this one. MPR exists to help people like you tell your story or share your passion on air and online. Check out mpr.nz for more information.
Kia ora and welcome. Before we start, a quick disclaimer. Chronic illness is a complex topic. What works for some people may not work for others. If you would like to pursue anything you've heard on the show, please seek independent medical advice.
Kia ora and welcome to Sick and Tired Aotearoa, a show that shines a light on chronic and invisible illnesses here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. Today we have Leal, Lou and Jasmine from iLead. Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
What is iLead?
iLead is a youth-led movement in New Zealand for young people aged 16 to 30 with lived experience or disabilities, advocating for a better future. We aim to amplify the voices of disabled youth at any platform, at any table.
It is a disability organisation for youth 18 to 30 for the conference and 16 to 30 for the organisation.
The programmes within iLead, they have William Pike Challenge, the Path of Men, there's an iPower and an iPride. Empowerment, and I have been on Empowerment.
What is Empowerment about?
Empowerment is about goal setting, so what we want to get out of life. It's cool because iLead actually pays for you to be on this program if you're accepted. They take you to different places. We also had some surprises in the visit. One of them I didn't really like because I don't like heights, but we went up the gondola in Queenstown. You had to go up there because we were having dinner at a restaurant up the top. But every time someone needed to get into the gondola who was in a wheelchair, it stopped mid-air. I was kind of screaming because I was like, I don't like heights. We came back down in the dark, so I mean, that was fine. We also went to the Sky Tower and we went up the top in the restaurant. The lift is see-through the whole way up. I really don't like heights. I did love all the goal setting and everything else about the experience.
You were able to then do these things that you weren't normally comfortable with, things that you wouldn't normally do, like the gondola and the Sky Tower lift. And you got through it in the end.
I did get through it.
I think these anecdotes, great examples of something that seems to be a strong thread that runs through everything that iLead does and provides for young disabled people, which is these experiences where you get to learn about yourself, where you get to find out what you're really capable of and what change you can really exact by even just providing access to experiences and to community and to services that young disabled people are so often excluded from or marginalised out of.
With all of these places that you end up going to on that program, do you then discover how accessible or not accessible each of these places are? Or are they already kitted out as being totally accessible for everyone?
Some of them are accessible. One of my friends who was in a wheelchair, we had to wheel him up a hill to go to the gondola. So, I mean, I guess in some ways, yes, most of the stuff are. Like, we went to bumper cars and that was pretty fun.
I'll be going to Christchurch later in June for the National Committee meeting and staying at a hotel and seeing Christchurch, and I'm looking forward to the experiences there. We're part of the Manawatu iLead Committee. It is a nationwide movement.
The committees right now that we have are Wellington, Manawatu, Auckland, Waikato, Dunedin and Canterbury.
And there's a conference every 2 years. I'm the representative for Manawatu iLead for the National Committee. I was elected last year and I'm rep for the Manawatu region, which is good.
What kind of things do you discuss in the committee when you're representing Manawatū?
Exhibits we've done, setting up details of our committee, terms of reference we discuss.
The Manawatū committee is a brand new committee, latest branch of ILEAD. So we've only been at this for less than a year at this point,
Okay.
Whereas the other committees have been established for a number of years.
I was actually on the Auckland committee before Manawatū, but I was Zooming in and then it was just kind of a little bit hard. So then Aaron was like, maybe we could do an ILEAD committee in Manawatū if we have enough people. I'm actually the chair of the committee at the moment.
It is great to have representation from people who are not in those major, major centres because we get overlooked quite a bit. So we need to use our voices a lot more.
The National Committee has a representative from every single committee. Jasmine is L1.
Being a committee member is not the only way you can be involved.
Tell us a bit about what Palmerston North has been doing over the last year.
We have been doing our values workshop. We did a stall at the Show Your Ability Expo.
Oh, how was that?
It was good. And we handed out flyers there. We've done Christmas lunch at the end of the year.
And I think continuing to contribute to some of those more national programs, like working towards setting up an iDrive workshop here in the Manawatū.
What's the iDrive workshop?
The iDrive workshop is a program aimed at teaching the road code in a accessible way to people with all kinds of disabilities who may struggle to access learning to drive through the more traditional methods.
And that is super important because it is a lot harder if things are not catered towards
the way your brain or body works.
Pretty much. Yeah. There's all sorts of things that could be a barrier to learning how to drive. But in this day and age, having a driver's license is one of the first things that people check for when you're looking for employment. Yeah, that sounds like a great program.
I think it took like 3 years for me to get my license just because I'm visual. So if one of the questions was, does the blue car or the red car give way? I'm like, I don't know. I know it, but like,
it's not until you put it in an interactive way that
you know it.
One of the goals of ILEAD is to make sure that you have more voices in all of the decision-making table. And we have things like it is election year. And also local councils often do submissions for things like the annual budget. Are you going to be getting into that space and doing submissions to council and finding out what it is that you would like our money and our tax to be?
Out of ILEAD, I am on the council committee for it's called Access and Inclusion, and it's just a disability committee, really. But we do talk about that kind of stuff and do submissions if we think a submission should be in.
Yeah. Through ILEAD, when certain pieces of legislation are being proposed, there are regularly workshops held to help us either as individuals or as a collective put together submissions to councils and to Parliament. And the National ILEAD Conference that's held every 2 years is entirely built around the youth who come to the conference talking together about all kinds of topics and eventually refining down a list of ideas that is presented at Parliament itself.
We discuss issues like driving or transport, housing,
health,
recreation, employment, education, and we also vote on recommendations to give the government, and we present in Parliament every 2 years, which is really good for ILEAD. Get to meet lots of cool people there.
And that, having your voice heard in those spaces is super important because that's where the big money is, isn't it? You know, if we want change in Aotearoa, that's where we have to go, either to local government or to central government to try and get things happening the way we want them to happen, to make things accessible for everyone.
As ILEAD has continued to grow, it is an increasingly popular outlet for businesses or for government to come and approach us directly as an organisation for a consultation.
That is helpful. What kind of things have happened with businesses?
We've worked on Red Cross doing like an emergency management plan, because there's actually not really an emergency management plan with disabilities in that. They kind of expect us to leave our house, but if we can't leave our house, what are we meant to do? There's stuff like that. Any businesses can ask us for help, but we have also done submissions on total mobility, and we're going to be doing one this week on the mental health.
The one thing that we really can't forget is that our showcase day is coming up, and we're also pushing for new members in the Manawatū committee. So any listeners who are interested or who know someone who may be interested, absolutely come and approach us, because we are hungry for new blood.
Excellent. And what is your showcase?
The idea behind it is that it will be inviting people in to learn about iLead, to have a fun social day together, to get to know us, for us to get to know you, to talk with each other about our experiences as disabled youth, as disabled leaders, plans, dreams, goals, and try and keep growing the movement.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for coming and talking to me today. It's been wonderful having you on Sick and Tired Aotearoa, and I look forward to seeing you all in your leadership roles in the future.
Yeah,
for sure. Thanks for having us, Renee.
And now we are going to try a bit of relaxing breathing. If you've got a spare minute to yourself, place one hand on your chest and one hand on your belly, so that when you breathe in, your belly is moving and not your chest. That's the best way to do some deep breathing. And we will start. Breathe in through your nose. Breathe out through your mouth. In. Out. In. Out. In, out, in, and out, in, out, breathing in, out, in, out, in, out. And that was 1 minute of relaxing breathing.
It's time for us to enjoy some music. If you struggle with music, now is a great time to pop your device on mute for the next 4.5 minutes. For the rest of you, relax a little and enjoy the tunes of All the Little by Wolf Boy. Thank you. Was All the Little by Wolfboy. You can find more music like this at wolfboy.bandcamp.com. Kia ora, you are listening to Sick and Tired Aotearoa on Manawatū People's Radio, Te Reo Irirangi o Ngā Tangata o Manawatū. Our next guest today is Bethany Alder, who has lived experience of ME/CFS. Kia ora, Bethany.
Kia ora, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. I also want to start off by saying a massive thank you to you, Bethany, because it was actually your interview with ORFM last year on Notable Radio with Amy Taylor that made me go, actually, I do want to hear more people with chronic illness on the radio. I actually want to hear more experiences from people who are going through the same stuff I'm going through. And that is how we started making this podcast in the first place. So massive mihi to you for doing that and inspiring the rest of us to get on board.
I'm glad.
At what point did you realize you had developed ME/CFS?
5 years ago in 2021, I had a concussion. So for me, that triggered chronic headache, vertigo, and other symptoms. And then it was the beginning of the next year that my ME/CFS started. So I actually lost the top of my finger. That triggered the neuroimmunological response.
So what was your life like before you developed ME/CFS?
There were a lot of ups and downs, other life challenges and health-related things. I was going to school. I loved learning. I was very active, doing exercise and sport, going to church, you know, part of a youth group, and involved in a lot of other things, like I didn't need to rest during the day or whatever. Pretty different.
So you were busy and active, and then you ended up with your concussion and then with ME/CFS. How did that impact on your life?
Things definitely progressed with the ME/CFS, and my function kind of got worse over that year. At the time, I was 15. It meant that eventually I wasn't able to go to school at all. It significantly impacted my ability to study, you know, to go to church and other things I was doing. I was enrolled in Southern Health School for my last few years of high school and sort of found other ways of learning and a process of learning to make the most of what I can do. It's definitely a journey.
Were you experiencing fatigue that was preventing you from doing the things that you were normally doing?
Yeah, definitely. The extreme fatigue, the post-exertional malaise, the widespread pain. I also have a range of comorbidities, so like fibromyalgia and POTS, dysautonomias. Yeah, the postural tachycardia and dizziness. Yeah, it affects the full body. So you've got like GI symptoms, sensitivities, your immune system, your nervous system, cardiovascular system. Yeah, everything.
So all of those different symptoms wreaking havoc in your body, that would have been immensely difficult for you to just function, let alone go to school or participate in sports, especially as a teenager.
Yeah.
How did you cope with all of that? Did you end up having strategies to kind of help you through that process?
Well, it's definitely been a journey. I have been blessed to have good family support and people that have advocated for me and helped me to find my voice as well. And that was definitely a journey for me as I got older and figured out what independence looked like for me as a young adult navigating these additional challenges. Online support groups have been really valuable for me. I didn't really find them to begin with in my journey. We go down quite a few different pathways, and that took me a while to feel comfortable connecting with others. That's something that's been really good for me in recent years, definitely.
You were able to find your network, your crew of people who understood what you were going through.
Yeah, that was really valuable.
Do you have any other tips and advice on how people can cope with ME/CFS and POTS and dysautonomia?
Your brain's affected so differently. In terms of the support group and general resources, I actually have a list that are pinned to the top of my health page if anyone find that helpful. Bethany's Health Journey on Facebook and Instagram.
With all of the things that you were going through, you decided to start a Facebook group to tell people about what your journey's been like and to help people through that. And that's called Bethany's Health Journey?
Yeah, it's on Instagram as well.
What made you decide to do that, to kind of reach out to other people?
I mean, it was definitely a process of getting to the point where I was wanting to do something like that, sort of motivated from experiences, want to connect with others and hopefully be a voice for others as well and share my story more, raising awareness.
For a lot of people, they end up stuck in bed all day, every day. Having things like Facebook groups to go and connect with is a lot easier for people than going out and meeting people in real life.
Yeah.
Do you have any other tips and advice on how to cope with chronic illness?
Allowing myself to grieve, but also getting to a space where I was able to allow myself to enjoy the things I could do. And it's definitely a process of working through that. I think having goals and things to work towards has been quite important for me, just setting some intentions. I've definitely found that consistency over intensity, although way easier said than done, when you're like finding your baseline and pacing is super important.
Oh, pacing is so hard to do, eh? Because it's like anytime you want to do anything, you have to really think about whether it's worth it. It can be hard adjusting to your baseline and then finding your baseline in the first place and then adjusting to it. It's an ongoing process for a lot of us. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Learning how to make the most of what I can do within my capacity, you know, still setting goals, having things I'm working towards. I do have to spend quite a lot of the day resting. Some days I am able to go out. If I do, it will just be usually like an hour for like an appointment or seeing a friend one-on-one. It's always, yeah, really nice. And I can do that. It's definitely a juggling act. I listen to audiobooks. Reading's particularly difficult, so audiobooks are really good.
And that's why podcasts are handy too, isn't it? Because you can just lie there and listen to a podcast. Is there anything that you think is important for people who are dealing with this?
It affects the whole body, so it's a multi-systematic illness. It's a spectrum, so it affects everyone very differently. I think remembering the difference between chronic fatigue and ME/CFS, because I think sometimes that can be quite confusing. Like, there's lots of different symptoms and it affects the whole body. And chronic fatigue is a symptom of quite a lot of different illnesses that can affect how it's perceived by the public, like medical professionals and also like policymakers and the government and stuff as well. So yeah, I think little things like that are important when wanting to make systematic change for people with this illness, classifying ME as a disability so that more people can have access to the support that they need.
Do you think the government is taking it seriously, ME/CFS, or do you think that they don't really understand quite how debilitating it is?
I don't think there's really a lot of understanding on how debilitating it is. And to be honest, I think the name of the illness, it was initially called myalgic encephalomyelitis, which reflects the multi-systematic impact that it has. But due to misunderstanding around it in the past, it was renamed chronic fatigue syndrome and then sort of shortened to chronic fatigue. And I think when people hear that, they kind of just think, oh, yeah, I'm tired too. But it's really so much more than that. It is becoming more prevalent with a lot of people developing it from COVID-19 and more awareness. But I think there's still a really long way to go as well in terms of education and awareness and just understanding around it.
Have you found it hard as a younger person going through this as opposed to, you know, somebody who's older and who's already had a life?
Yeah, it can be quite isolating. That was actually part of the reason why I, with someone else from New Zealand, helped to create this support group for just, yeah, New Zealand teens and young adults with ME/CFS and related illnesses, because it's not so bad now that I'm a bit older. Like, I'm 20 now and I feel comfortable relating with people of all ages, and I think life experiences do that to you. But when I was 15, 16, I felt like there was kind of a gap and there wasn't really anything for my age group. I didn't really know how I could connect with other people my age, and were just that we're kind of going through some of the unique challenges that come with being a teenager with chronic illness. Shared challenges, but each stage of life has got their own things as well that you can relate to each other with. I was hoping that creating that group would create a space to reach out to others who might also be in that position, just be able to connect with other young people, which has been cool.
Well, thank you so much, Bethany, for taking some time and energy out of your day to talk with us. It's been really good to hear your experiences.
Thanks so much for having me.
Call to action. We need to hear more young disabled voices at all decision-making tables on all platforms.
Thanks for listening to Sick and Tired Aotearoa. Remind your friends to listen in at npr.nz/show/sickandtiredaotearoa.
If you enjoy this NPR podcast, please consider subscribing. Our podcasts are available on all major podcasting platforms: Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify, as well as the accessmedia.nz app.
Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.npr.nz/donate.